Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? God, as we prepare to hear this message that you have laid upon my heart, may it inspire all of us to connect and to grow and to serve you in bigger and bolder ways. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today's message and next week's message both are about the two sacraments within the church, that of communion within the Methodist church, that of communion and baptism. And I think it's important that we pause and be reminded of things as basic as how to break the bread off and where our grape juice came from. Mr. Walsh was a good Methodist. I think it's good for us because those two sacraments are really very foundational as to who we are and what we are about. And so I think it's important that we know what our foundation is. So today, why does communion matter? And I'll begin by turning to Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll be reading verses 23 through 29. If you're following on a pew Bible, it's on page 173 in the New Testament. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for me. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves." Communion, whether you call it Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Great Thanksgiving, or the Holy Eucharist, all words for the same thing as Christians approach this table that Christ has given to us. The act of communion really is a sermon without words about the cross. It's a sermon without words about the cross. And Jesus gave it to us so that we have a picture with us forever of what he intended us to remember. When we share in Holy Communion, we are doing what all Christians do, celebrating a relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ by taking seriously his own words on the night before he died. God knows that we have short memories and that we need these things to remind us, to help us to remember. So, for example, that's why oftentimes when there was a great event in the Old Testament, the patriarchs would build an altar at the place so that they would remember that event. And then when the Israelites, after they journeyed 40 years through the desert and they crossed that Jordan River, they built this with 12 stones a memorial so that they could remember that they had crossed that river. And it continues to be a part of the Jewish tradition that as they celebrate in Passover, that they have this regular meal to remember what it was like when their ancestors, the Israelites, crossed that desert. And they eat bitter herbs because they want to remember the bitter times they had, but they also include honey because they want to remember the sweet and continuing presence of God with them. And also as a part of their memory and their ritual is, as they set the table, they always leave one chair empty, reminding them that they still await the coming of the Messiah. And I think it is of great significance that night when Jesus gathered with the disciples in the upper room, and as Jewish people gathering for a Passover, they would have that empty chair that Jesus probably sat in that chair that night. A symbol of great significance. We need help remembering. Many people debate when we talk about the ritual of communion. How often? What's the right number of times to share in communion? And there are those of them, and it differs from denomination and church to church. There are those who believe it ought to happen. If it happens every week, it becomes mundane and too ritual, and people just take it for granted. There are others who say if you don't have it enough, you just kind of forget. Well, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism in England, said to us, the instruction that he gave to us is that we ought to partake as often as we can. He told the persons of England at that time that they needed to go to the Anglican Church as often as they could so that they would receive communion. And so that's his instruction, as often as you can. I hope that you'll mark your calendars for November 1st. That's a Sunday, November 1st. As on that Sunday during our message time, we will be visited by John Wesley, at least a reenactment of John Wesley by Indiana pastor who is well known for his portrayal and sharing of the Wesleyan teachings. And so we'll have that opportunity Sunday, November 1st. But in John Wesley, in his sermon entitled The Duty of Constant Communion, he said this, "I am to show that it is the duty of every Christian to partake in communion because it is a plain command of Christ. Observe, too, that this command was given by our Lord when he was laying down his life for our sakes. So do this as often as you can." Our altar in front of us, in the front of our sanctuary, isn't just intended to be just an ordinary piece of furniture. It is a symbol for us to remember the altar, beginning as it was in the Old Testament. Because the altar for me, oftentimes when I look at it, for me, it reminds me that I am a sinner, that we sin. It's a regular symbol when I walk in the sanctuary. It's one of the first things I can see is the reminder that I sin and I know what I need. And in the Old Testament, when the Israelites had their altar and as they had their temple, because they did not yet have Jesus, what they would do for their sins, because they knew that they were not God and they knew that they were sinners, is that they would regularly bring doves and lambs and they would offer them to the priest who then would sacrifice them. In other words, he would kill those animals on this altar and then he would smear their blood on the altar. And it wasn't just an event that happened once. It was a daily kind of routine where animals were brought and they were sacrificed and then the next person came and then the next person came because that's the way humanity was. Humanity was sinful. And humanity continues to be sinful. And so what is still the same is that we are sinful and still, but what it changes, the altar changes for us as Christians. And so when we look at this experience of communion, where we begin, honestly, is we begin with our time at the rail. The rail is the place where we approach with humility, whether we are able to physically kneel or we do so mentally, but it's a place where we come with humility. And it's the place that equalizes all of us. It's the place where we say we are all sinners. It's the place because, you know, the ground at the bottom of the cross is all flat and even. We all need the rail. I don't know a whole lot about cars. I know that I can drive my car and I can fill my gas tank and I can take it to the dealership when it's time for the oil change. I can take it for a car wash. But when something major happens that I need a mechanic, it's very uncomfortable for me to go to a garage because I don't know near enough about what that mechanic knows. And quite honestly, I'm not always sure if I'm being dealt with fairly. And that's frustrating for me, but I don't know as much as they know. And then I know that in this congregation that there are many persons who are amazing with technology. I know there are many persons who are amazing with music. Thank you very much, Carolyn, for the beautiful anthem. I know that there are many people who are very artistic, and I appreciate that, and that is such an encouragement to me. But also, there's a piece of that that also makes me feel a bit inferior. Because it's not always easy to be around persons who are better or better at things than you are. But it's the Lord's Supper and it's coming to the rail that erases all of that. And Paul wanted us to clearly understand that because this was a problem in Corinth in his day. In the day of Paul, they were practicing this ritual at mealtime that those who were of high status economically or had power were those who were seated first at the table, served first at the table, and it would not be unusual that the poor or those of lesser status may even go away from the table hungry and never have anything to eat or drink. And Paul said, this is not right. This is not what God intended. And Paul said, so then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. All eat together because you're all equal. You're all the same. So when we come to the communion rail, we are all the same. It doesn't matter our socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter if we drive a Lexus or we drive a rundown, beat-up car. It doesn't matter if we worked in a corporate office this last week or if we worked behind a grill at a fast food restaurant. It doesn't matter if we worked at home all week. It doesn't matter if we were overseas all week. It doesn't matter because we are all hopelessly sinners and in need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. A seeker, a sinner, and a saint are all the same when it comes to Jesus Christ. So when we come to the rail, we come all in need. And the rail is intended for us to be a time of prayer and a time of self-examination. To look at our lives honestly in the presence of God and ask ourselves serious questions. As I mentioned this last week, if you began on June 1st for our 90 days through the gospel study, one of the chapters that you read this last week was Matthew 5, which when I was reading it on June 5th, it just struck me how amazing God connected that message with communion today. The fifth chapter of Matthew is filled with questions that are the kind of self-examination questions that God desires us to ask ourselves when we come to the communion rail. As he talked about things like, how do we treat our brothers and sisters? And are we treating one another fairly and with love? And if not, that's a reason why we need to be at the table and we need to examine ourselves and ask for forgiveness. So our experience of coming for communion begins at the rail with a time of self-examination. But then as Christians, we do move to the altar and we look to the altar of what is here for us. And I think it's very significant for us to know that there's a Christogram on the front of our altar, IHS. And those are the first three Greek letters of the alphabet. And they stand for Jesus Honorarium Salvator, Jesus saves us. So we can look and see that even though there's this sinfulness that's dealt with at the altar, we are reminded that Jesus is the Savior, and he is the Savior and the one that saves us. This last week as I read through, was just reading through some things online, came across a blog by a Canadian blogger. His name is Kyle MacDonald. Kind of a crazy story. And in this story, he shared that his goal was to take a red paper clip and to trade that red paper clip for a house. And here's how he did that. He took his red paper clip, and the first exchange he made was for a fish-shaped ink pen. So then when he had this fish-shaped ink pen, he then traded it up for some kind of a homemade doorknob, and on made these trades. I mean, he traded at one point a Honda generator that he got from a U.S. Marine. He traded a lunchtime experience with Alice Cooper. He traded a snowmobile. I mean, some of the craziest things. But anyway, he went through 43 trades before he finally got a two-story farmhouse in Saskatchewan. And it's a true story, and he succeeded. And I think that's the craziest story. Check it out online. It's there. He blogs it. But it made me think, I know of a crazier story. And the crazier story that it made me think about is that there was this crazy man who told these amazing stories. And he did these amazing healings. And he went all across all the countryside doing this. And the crazy thing was that people rejected him for that. The crazy thing is that all he did was he loved and he forgave and he was merciful and he was compassionate and he was kind, but people killed him. No, they didn't kill him. They crucified him. And the crazy thing is that after he was dead, he rose from the dead, and he went to be in heaven with God. And the crazy thing is that he was sinless, and he was holy, and he didn't have to do that. And the crazy thing is that he did that for me, and he did that for you. And he did that because he knows us well enough that that's the gift that we would need, of forgiveness, so that we could spend life eternally with him. That's the craziest story. And it's the craziest story about trading something up. If we just let go of living without Christ in our lives, we can trade up to something so much better, so much bigger, because of what this crazy person did for us. Looking for my, that's why you have an extra on your bulletin today. Your extra on your bulletin is a paperclip. And so as we receive communion today, I want us to do it in the order of the experience that is intended for us. As we come forward as sinners, and this paperclip is to remind us of that. So today I want you to come forward with your paperclip in your hand. And I know not everyone gets a bulletin, so the ushers have little cups with paperclips, so you can get them one from them before you come up. And I want you to bring your paperclip up, and then I want you to spend time in prayer at the communion rail, because it's the rail where we spend time in humility and self-examination with just God, and really examine our very soul. And then, after we've done that honest examination, then it's time for us to receive that body and blood of Jesus Christ, that offers us forgiveness and life and hope. And so the servers will be located at the doors afterwards. So after you spend time in examination, you may receive your communion today at the rail. The cups are there. If you just peel the top back, it is the wafer, and then peel it back a second time, you can get to the juice. Or you can do so by intinction. I think we've had plenty of instruction about that today. So you may receive either way. If you're not able to come up the aisle, please let one of the ushers know. Also, if you have need gluten-free, we do have gluten-free elements to offer. I'll also be there at the kneeling bench if you'd like special prayer time with me. I'd be happy to share that time with you, but this is our time to trade it up. Yeah, this is what we're carrying. It's time to trade it up and to give it away, and that's what this time is an opportunity for us.